Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it. Hello, I'm Robert Washburn, and welcome to Consider This Northumberland, a current affairs program dedicated to the issues facing our community. We talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life in Northumberland County. So I'm asking you, the listener, to take some time out of your busy day to consider this. With the third week of the federal election campaign wrapping up, the dynamic is shifting as polls show the race is tightening. One of the more interesting stories this past week was the rise of the People's Party of Canada, slightly surpassing the Green Party. So without any delay, here is the PPC candidate, Nathan Lang. I'm so pleased to have with me today, Nathan Lang, the candidate for the People's Party of Canada for Northumberland Peterborough South. Welcome to Consider This.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Let's get to it. I want to start off first and foremost with, are you vaccinated?
So I'm not going to answer this question because our party doesn't believe in vaccine passports. And we believe that health information should be kept confidential and should not determine one's ability to participate in society on any level.
Okay, but from a voter's standpoint of view, are you coming up knocking on doors or you're approaching people or going to events? Don't you think that people who are doing those things should know that your status as whether or not you're vaccinated?
They're welcome to keep their distance. And if I go up to somebody's door and they say, I'm willing to talk with you, but put a mask on, I'm perfectly happy to do that.
So do you think then this will hinder your ability to campaign? Things like going to events or door to door or gatherings of people?
No, I don't think so, because I think people who, our supporters, the PPC supporters, are perfectly happy to meet in person, and we don't discuss this, right? It doesn't even come up whether people are vaccinated or not, because this is the platform that we're running on. If people feel uncomfortable, they're welcome to tell me to stay away or, tell me to talk at a distance or whatever it may be. I don't see it hindering because, if I go up to somebody's door, I'm going to knock on the door and then stand well back and I can talk to them from a distance. And frankly, I don't engage in risky behavior. Like, I'm not going out in massive crowds on a regular basis. That may change to an extent during the election campaign because it's necessary, but, I'm not at high risk and I haven't gotten sick yet. So, and another point is that the risk of getting sick continues to decline because case rates are much lower. And with people being vaccinated, less risk.
Before we go too much further, can you tell us a bit about yourself?
Sure. I am 28 years old. This is my first go at politics. I got involved because I don't think our current government is doing a very good job. And the People's Party of Canada is quite new, only 3 years old. And there was sort of an open invitation to apply as a candidate back in February. And I thought this would be a good opportunity to jump in and hopefully help set the stage for the party's future successes. I've always sort of had an interest in politics, but I think it's quite difficult to get nominated for a larger party. And this party happened to match my views more closely anyways. So I studied engineering for some years, and then I studied two different disciplines of engineering, actually, and then I switched out to accounting, which is what I do now for work. So I work in public accounting, and at the moment, it's terrible timing, but I'm writing a professional exam to become a CPA, which is 5 days before the election. So that worked out, unfortunately, but it is what it is.
In that light, then, what was your reaction to the rally held when Justin Trudeau did a campaign stop in Cobourg on August 17th, where There were protesters swearing at him, yelling obscenities, being physically and vocally aggressive. How do you react to that kind of behavior?
Well, I certainly wouldn't do it myself, and I wouldn't encourage that anybody else do it, because I think it doesn't set a good example for whatever cause you're trying to promote, trying to shut other people down. And I've seen this too. I attended an event on Canada Day in Ottawa, and there were PPC candidates there. There were other PPC members and a whole lot of other groups. And I'm glad to say that nobody from our party or who was representing our party in any way was involved in this, but there were people who were shouting some extremely vulgar things at, I think it was there was a cameraman and an assistant from CBC. And they hadn't done anything wrong. They were actually invited to cover the event. And there was one guy who was just going off on them, and he was getting right up in their face and physically aggressive. And some people were saying, like, man, you got to cool down. Like, just relax, just move away from them. And so they had to keep moving around the lawn of the Supreme Court there to try and avoid this guy and other guys who were, they were holding up signs and stuff, just pieces of Bristol board to, you know, block the camera and saying, well, you guys are, you know, causing all these problems or causing people to die or whatever. And it was a lot of nonsense. I did go over, not to toot my own horn, but I did go over after and said, you know, sorry, hopefully you don't think everybody's like this, because it's ridiculous. But it's, you can't really shut that down. I don't think it should be done. Like, saying that I don't believe in restrictions on freedom of speech doesn't mean I think people should necessarily say whatever they want to say all the time. So I think those kind of, you know, vulgar or profanity laced outbursts in situations like this are, you know, it's kind of inappropriate, but I don't think it should be banned.
It's kind of
I think part of it is one last thing. I think part of it is, rather than banning, these people should be judged by society, right? So if nobody agrees with them and, you know, if everybody thinks, you know, these people are ridiculous, they can't be taken seriously, they will disappear. You know, they'll be shunned. And you can't stop society from doing that. But I don't think that the government should be making those decisions.
What does this tell us about this election when we see this kind of behavior? I mean, this Coburg was only one example. There's been lots over. I know even on your own Twitter feed, you've shared some videos of this nature, have been in your feed as well, this kind of behavior. So I just wonder, what does it tell us about this election and our political climate?
I think it's very high strung. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, my perspective is biased because I mostly interact with people who agree with me at the moment. Those are the people who are reaching out. I don't get people from the NDP or the Liberal Party reaching out and saying, what's your platform about? So there's a lot of people who just absolutely hate Justin Trudeau. That's just the way it is. A lot of those people are voting Conservative because they think, oh, this is the best bet to take him down. What they don't realize is that, you know, Erin O'Toole stands for a lot of the same things. And I've asked people, you know, name one benefit of putting Erin O'Toole in over Justin Trudeau. And they give answers, but their answers are wrong because none of that stuff's mentioned on his platform. They're just making stuff up. So, it's just everything has been politicized these days. And part of it is social media, which, you know, the algorithms on social media direct you towards the most sensationalized extreme content. It's the way they're designed because they make more money. And so if they can keep you on there looking at, you know, sensationalized extreme content, you're going to see more ads, you're going to make more money, and you'll spend more time on the platform. And that's, and everything has a political angle because people get upset about politics and passionate about it. And so it's a problem, but I think future elections are going to be just the same at this rate.
There is so much division today. You've alluded to it already, and the use of wedge issues in politics today. It feels like we are not a unified country, despite what anybody's going to say. Can you say something positive about the current MP, Philip Lawrence, or any of the other candidates?
Yeah, absolutely. Philip Lawrence, I've watched him interview content of him that was posted relatively recently. He seems like a good guy. I'm not going to lie. He seems like he cares about people's freedoms. He seems relatively honest. He has been in politics for a while, and he did mention that he's sort of got into politics or got involved in politics at a fairly young age, like early teens. So, you know, I'm not a big fan of career politicians in that sense, just because if you get too into politics, you lose touch with the real world, I think. But he seems like a decent guy, and he put forward a private member's bill on the carbon tax. That's one particular issue, and he wanted to, I think, exempt farmers from paying carbon tax on propane and natural gas. And I support that. I just don't think it's nearly far enough.
Your party proposes to eliminate corporate subsidies and bailouts for regional development grants and other forms of support. Now, during the pandemic, we have watched various levels of government pour millions, if not billions, of dollars into small businesses, manufacturers, the tourism industry, which is really important to our riding, agriculture. Many of those business people would tell you that without those supports, they would have lost their business. Are there not instances where government support is needed in order to keep the economy stable or to prevent it plunging into a recession or a depression?
Well, in the context of the government preventing people from running their business or working, yes. You'd have to support them. But the premise of shutting the economy down like that, I think, shouldn't have been done in the first place. I think this is most applicable to really large companies who, you know, because we've seen this with Air Canada. I think they retracted their bonuses, but at some point they paid massive bonuses to all their top staff. And number one, they don't need the money because they're really rich. And number two, I don't think they earned it because bonuses are normally, you know, there's usually a bonus formula based on income or something like that, which they wouldn't have earned. Maybe they changed the formula just to get it. But I think if the government's going to say you cannot work, then they sort of have an obligation to support you so that you don't like starve to death. But I don't think the fact that they said you can't work should have occurred in the first place. And small businesses got hit the worst here. And that is the single thing that bugs me the most about the lockdowns, because you know, small businesses were doing their best to follow all the rules the government put in place, you know, providing hand sanitizer, putting up shields, maintaining social distancing. And they were just told to shut down at different points while big businesses stayed open. And even if you had like a limit of one person at a time in those small businesses, that might have been able to sustain them because people could have waited outside or something in a big line. But no justification was ever provided for doing that. And that just grinds my gears to no end.
I would like to know what your party intends to do to help seniors who are struggling to pay their rent, pay their bills, have enough money to get around. The old age security payments have remained frozen for many, many years and have not increased with inflation. So how does your party plan to address this?
This might seem a bit callous, but if it's not in the platform, it won't be addressed. Our party is specifically trying to do politics differently. And maybe a lot of people say this, they say, we're different, we're going to be honest or whatever, but we're not trying to make promises to specific groups of people to address their issues, because that's seniors. But there's other issues for youth, and there's other issues for people who are middle-aged in certain scenarios. There are a million and one issues between different demographic groups in the country. They cannot all possibly be addressed. We need to solve big picture issues first. And with old age security, I agree that payments should be higher. That would be great. But we don't have any money as a country. We're $1 trillion in debt. And it has to be one thing at a time. Like I said, like, we have to get spending under control so we can reduce the debt and then build things back up. And you mentioned Sweden earlier, and I think some other Scandinavian countries have really great equivalents of old age security and, you know, retirement pension plans that are funded by the government. That's because they're really responsible with their money, and they have surpluses that they can afford to put extra money into these plans. So again, it might sound callous, but we're not, if somebody asks us, what are you going to do about my particular situation? The answer is, as Maxime Bernier has stated in several speeches at this point, I believe, is nothing special. Where our policies are intended to address all Canadians, and they're intended to address things at a federal level and big picture level. And then we can solve the rest of the problems in the process.
I find that very interesting, because I looked through your policies again, and I looked for something around affordable housing, because it's a major problem in Northumberland County. I mean, the county has a 10-year waiting list for affordable housing for decades. And I was curious to find out from you what your party proposes to do to help these people find a place to live that they can afford. Does this fall under the same category then?
No, I think housing is a very big issue right now. I mean, it affects me too. Not that that should affect, you know, our platform, but I've actually put a policy forward to the party to address this. And part of it is, in my opinion anyways, and I think the opinions of others, is that so houses are unaffordable across the country, but they are really bad in this area. And a big problem is foreign investors who, you know, billionaires in other countries, no number of Canadians can compete with them. They can just buy up new housing as it's built. And there's a lot of vacant properties, especially in big cities. And it reduces the supply. And these properties are just being held for appreciation so they can make money. We had this absolutely ineffectual tax of 1% put on those in Ontario. That's my understanding. And that's not going to dissuade anyone. You need something harsher, which is going to penalize them for holding empty properties. So this is not part of the platform. But this is what I proposed, is put a large tax, maybe 20%. I don't know. That's just a number I'm throwing out, on the ones that are vacant and not being rented. And then if they chose to rent to Canadians, you reduce that. But you still penalize them because they're not Canadians. And Canadians want to own homes. I think this is generally agreed on. Most Canadians would like to own their own home and have their own house. So if people are preventing Canadians from doing that, they should be penalized on some level. And maybe they find that's too expensive, so then they decide to sell. They sell to Canadians. But another thing, which, and this is part of a conservative platform that was recently released, is banning foreign investors entirely from purchasing real property in Canada, which I think is a good idea. And they want to do it for 2 years. I think it should just be done sort of indefinitely, because that's a big problem. Because the idea is you free up supply that way. And part of our immigration policy as well, in pausing immigration, which I guess we might talk about at some point here as well, is you're reducing the increase in demand. So right now, Justin Trudeau wants to bring 400,000 roughly new immigrants into Canada per year. That's what he's proposed at some point. And that's 400,000 people who need to find houses. And there's a lot of people here who can't afford houses. Many Canadians think they'll never be able to afford a house. And if you're bringing people in constantly, it's just going to drive up prices more, because there's more people competing for it. So I think that is a big problem. And we are taking steps to address that.
There have been several deaths recently in Northumberland due to an opioid overdose. Police are very worried, as are many other agencies. What is your party prepared to do about this?
Yeah, it is a big issue. I think there's a lot of that going on in Vancouver as well, and other major cities. One thing that I believe is correct is that overdoses and other very preventable deaths, like suicides, have really spiked during the pandemic. There's been a lot of mental health issues which have propped up. And I think it's very straightforward to say that it's due to people being socially isolated and unable to partake in the things they need to do and that they want to do. People maybe can't run their own business, or can't see their friends for extended periods of time, or maybe they have family members who are extremely at risk and they can't see them. So in my understanding, deaths in many age groups during the lockdown period due to suicides, overdoses, and other preventable causes exceeded COVID deaths. And this wasn't in every age demographic, of course.
What are you doing in your personal life to make a difference regarding climate change? I'm not talking now about party policy. I'd like to know what actions you take in your daily life to impact climate change.
Not specifically. I recycle stuff. I don't go out of my way to pollute, right? I think I like the environment being clean. Don't get me wrong. And a lot of people think the PPC are a bunch of climate change deniers. And this isn't true. We're not denying that climate change isn't happening. It's happening. But the reality is that Canada produces a tiny fraction of global emissions. And even if we reduced it to zero, it wouldn't really affect the global climate, because climate is a global thing. There's a big part of our party, and something that is important to me, especially, is climate alarmism. And, you know, we've been hearing that there's a climate crisis since the 1980s. First, it was global cooling, and then it was global warming. And you got Al Gore with An Inconvenient Truth, which I remember seeing in high school, and none of that panned out. The hockey stick graph was debunked, and then it was never really retracted. I think, you know, they could have been a few years later, because I saw it like at the sort of the end of the period where the predictions were being made to, and none of them had happened. But nobody said, you know, it turns out this video wasn't really on the ball. There's always been a climate crisis, apparently, and I think we're doing pretty fine. Like, Canada is not a dirty country. I think, you know, issues like even smog and just general pollution have really declined. Cars are getting cleaner. There's always increased standards on emissions, and even coal burning processes are getting cleaner. And I don't think it's something we need to worry about. I don't contribute a huge amount to greenhouse gases. I don't really do anything special in that sense. And I'm not trying to go out of my way to have an utterly insignificant effect on it, because it doesn't matter. And another point with climate change is that anybody who thinks it's a bad thing doesn't, like, you can't predict the future. We don't know whether it's a bad thing. It could be a great thing, because, you know, most things survive better in warmer climates. And for example, Greenland, just, this is a random example, but there's arable farmland on Greenland, and it would be livable. Maybe there's certain areas of the world where you can start farming stuff. And yeah, maybe there's bad effects, who knows? But we can't know for certain that it's an all bad thing. And maybe some species go extinct, maybe other species crop up because they're better adapted to a warm climate. But it's not a foregone conclusion that it's going to be a bad thing.
Okay, help me out here, because I'm a little bit confused. You started off by saying that the People's Party of Canada is not made up of climate deniers, and you just went on and gave me a whole raft of things that sounded like you were denying climate change. So did I misinterpret what you said? And correct me if I'm wrong.
Maybe I explained myself poorly. So I wouldn't be surprised if the global temperatures are rising. But with respect to An Inconvenient Truth, they didn't rise nearly to the extent that was predicted in that documentary, for example.
Okay, but maybe that's because
I'm saying that climate change doesn't matter.
Oh, okay.
But we're allegedly not taking enough action. We're never taking enough action, apparently. And there's countries who are going through their industrial revolution, essentially, at this point, right? They're decades behind when we went through it in North America. But China, India, Pakistan, Indonesia, lots of manufacturing, lots of carbon dioxide emission intensive processes, and they have no intention of backing down on those. So it's a mute point what Canadians do, is what I'm trying to say. And yes, I would not be surprised if global temperatures were rising.
What has it been like on the campaign trail? I mean, what are people saying to you, and what's it like, you know, going out on these incredibly hot days and knocking on doors?
So I haven't done a whole lot of door knocking yet, just because it's taken a while to get materials in. I don't want to go to people's doors and have nothing to give them so that they can, you know, contact me or just a reference to see what some of our basic policies are. I've done a little bit of it. But for the most part, it's interacting with people who are already, you know, at events and online, who are already interested. And a lot of them are just saying, we're really glad to have the option to vote for you because it's different. And they weren't sure if there was going to be a PPC candidate in the riding. And of course, you know, we're not the best known party. That's just the reality at this point. We're a pretty new party. So it's not going to be publicized the same to the same level if there's a new Liberal or Conservative candidate, for example. But, you know, some people don't, a lot of people don't want to talk politics. I don't blame them. Like, politics is a big mess. And life is probably a lot easier if you just stay out of it and try to enjoy your life. And there's some people who, you know, I said, can I talk to you about this? Because there's an election coming up. And they said, nope, not interested. And that's fine. That's it seems to be a fair number of people, but that's the way it is.
Nathan Lang, I want to thank you so much for talking to me today.
Thank you, Robert. I really appreciate it.
That was my conversation with Nathan Lang, the PPC candidate for Northumberland Peterborough South. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening and stay tuned for more from Consider This.